Hello, and welcome to Be Creator, Serious Influence, the podcast all about the creator economy. I'm Alice Audley, and I'm the founder of Be Creator, formerly known as Blogosphere. Be Creator are the UK specialists in creator events. We run category-specific shows, such as the Beauty, Travel, and Health and Wellbeing Creator Show, which bring together brands, talent managers, and creators for a day of exhibitions, panels, presentations, and networking. And we also run the Be Creator Awards, our flagship event, which celebrates the best UK creators and creator marketing campaigns of the year. Last year's event had a reach of 179 million. If you would like to see some information about our events and how to get involved, head over to becreator.co.uk. Now, onto the show. Today on Be Creator, Serious Influence, I'm joined by Lucrèce Sicat, who is Head of Creator Marketing at Amazon Europe.
My name is Lucrèce Sicat. I'm the Head of the Creator Marketing in Europe for the Associate Programme. So I look after all kind of like educational resources, event experiences for creators to really build, you know, success for them and engage with them.
Amazing. So let's take it back a bit before you started at Amazon. What is your career history? Let's go all the way back. What was your first job?
My first job was in Paris, actually. As you can tell, I'm French from my accent. So it was at Edelman. I was a junior consultant there. And I was basically working on like the, you know, brand strategies, product development for many brands across the world. And at some point, they actually put me on the project for the Cannes Film Festival.
Ah, okay.
So I was in charge of all the spokesperson for L'Oréal Paris.
Right.
That's kind of like how I got into the world of, like, you know, celebrities. We had a few influencers. It was new at the time.
What year was this?
It was in 2013.
Okay.
Yeah, so back.
The year that Blogosphere, Be Creator, was launched.
Exactly.
Right at the start. So you were working with celebrity, but some influencer as well.
So. Some influencers, I remember we were starting to talk about it at the time. And so some of them were invited to the Cannes Film Festival. Now, obviously, it has changed a lot since that, but it's been great to see kind of like the evolution. But yeah, that was my first kind of like, you know, step into the industry, which was super interesting. And then I moved to London, actually, after that, because I wanted to do a master in marketing.
Okay.
Again, at the time, it was like there was no master in marketing in France or in Paris specifically. So I moved to London. Did that for a year, started my own startup for 3 seconds with a friend.
What was your startup?
It was called They Select For You. And it was, again, it was kind of like selecting products, you know, on internet, specifically for like small prices, mm-hmm. but, you know, on trend products. So again, it was kind of like the beginning of blogs and everything.
Yeah. Did you go out and do a fundraise, or was it?
We didn't. We actually did everything ourselves.
Yeah.
The sites, etc. I remember at the time affiliation was not that easy to get into, so mm-hmm. like there were only limited companies doing that, which was hard. And then finally, I think it was Rakuten or CJ, you know, opened kind of like their doors. We started doing affiliation. But I was kind of young at the time, mm-hmm. and, you know, staying in your sofa and working very hard was hard to be alone.
Yeah.
It was
quite
with
isolating.
My best friend, but
especially if you've moved to a,
exactly. Yeah. And so I kind of like wanted to get more experience as well. And that's how I joined Reward Style, which mm-hmm. is now called Like to Know It.
Yeah.
Which is a monetization platform for influencers. So I joined their company and stayed there for around 4 years.
Amazing.
Which was great.
So what year are we in now that you joined Reward Style, LTK?
Oh dear. 2015?
2014, 2015. Something. And when was that was founded, what, in like 2012?
So, yeah.
Amber.
Don't quote me on this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was I remember it was a very small team at the time. Very exciting people from all over Europe. We had an office in London, actually. They have still the same office.
Mm. And I've been to that office. It's very Instagrammable.
It's really cool. Exactly.
Like exposed brick. Like
it looks a bit like New York, Brooklyn style.
Yeah.
And yeah, they gave me my first job. Still like in between. So I was in the brand side as well, doing business development. So I was still in between, you know, the creators and the actual brands. And I was basically helping those brands really streamline their collaborations. So like, you know, how to do influencer marketing, how to do sponsored campaigns, understanding like what's the strategy if you want to do a brand performance campaign, if you want to do brand awareness, you know, market penetration, etc. So super interesting.
So, but they were doing actual campaigns outside of affiliate as well at LTK, or was it just predominant?
Predominantly within, within the affiliate space, because I think the beauty of RewardStyle at the time was that they could track, you know, performance of the campaign. And I remember, you know, brands were really keen on starting to understand, you know, the impact of their campaign and the budget as well that they were investing in. So we really started working with like PR teams and then, you know, marketing performance team all together. In all different markets as well, which was very different you know, from one to another. And then educating the influencers on the other side on how to work with brands, you know, what makes a great campaign.
And you were predominantly, though, on brand side there.
Correct,
Were the teams very much separate, or did you manage to get much sort of FaceTime with creators, influencers as well?
We got a lot of FaceTime with creators as well.
Because they did events too, didn't they?
Yes, exactly. They did event too. We did events as well for brands and retailers. So we had like retailer summits and then influencers as well. I think it was all about connecting those two together so that they could understand each other and work better with each other as well.
Yeah.
With, of course, all the data to understand what's happening behind the scenes. So, yeah, that was very interesting, very exciting. Worked with brand with, again, like Farfetch, Net-a-Porter, ASOS, so a large range of brands that had different objectives at the time.
And to sign up as a creator, was there a barrier to entry? You had to be approved to get onto the platform. How many kind of creators were you working with? Put you on the spot.
So I can't remember, to be honest. Yes, of course you needed to, you know, submit an application. But they had a lot of creators at the time around, you know, across Europe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had someone reviewing, of course, the application. But I can't tell you exactly how many.
And then you leave.
Yes, I did. I did. It was a hard choice because it was kind of like a small family there. But I was ready for the next step. And at the time, I remember I was working as well super closely with Amazon. And I started to get very excited about discovering, you know, what was behind Amazon. So I actually applied for a lot of different positions and ended up being hired for a position in the logistic department.
I see.
In new business.
That's, yeah.
Within Amazon. Yeah.
So quite I was a like, change. Yeah. Get your foot in the door.
Exactly. You know, at the time I was like, you know, it's new business development. It's pretty much similar to what I was doing at RewardStyle in terms of, you know, acquiring new clients, etc., and negotiating. But I stayed only a few months there because I realized that my true passion was really, you know, within influencer marketing. And I was kind of like, you know, within logistics, I was like, are you working with influencers? Are you working with publishers?
Yeah.
What are you doing with that? And it was not the core mission of the role. And so, yeah, after a few months, I changed and joined the fashion team at the time. Within Amazon still, they needed someone to build really like social media and influencer team. So I moved there, stayed for a few years as well, started to build a team. And a year and a half ago, I moved to the creator team.
Yeah. So within Amazon Fashion then, what was the role in terms of working with creators there, and how does that sort of differentiate from what the role is now?
Yeah, it was really about, I think it was the starting point as well. At the time, we didn't have kind of like a creator team as per se within Amazon. So that's where we started kind of like with fashion. And the role was really about spreading awareness around, you know, what Amazon Fashion has to offer. They have a lot of amazing brands, whether it's like, you know, high streets. Recently, they launched luxury stores. So it was really about connecting, starting to create a community of influencers that were interested in fashion, bringing them on board onto the Amazon Influencer Program, explaining, educating them as well on the benefits of the program, you know, on fashion, they can earn up to 20% on commissions.
Right.
So that's quite great, mm-hmm. you know, within the industry standards. And starting working with them, you know, whether it was via collaboration or organically as well, helping them build their businesses with the within the fashion space. And the way that it has changed now is that we have a kind of like we have built this team, which is more like central within Amazon, where we look after not just influencers, actually, but also publishers.
Yeah.
And so now my role is more marketing focused, mm-hmm. Really to build, like, for example, you know, sites to help influencers create links or, you know, understand how much they can earn via the program or typically create some events, you know, like the ones that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's much broader. I think, you know, I think the difference as well now is that we look at influencers as our customers within Amazon.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've heard, but we're all about, you know, customer obsession.
Yes. I watched a clip from early 2000s, Jeff Bezos saying we're customer service. That's what
yes.
we are.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And every time we're doing something, we're thinking like, okay, who's our customer and how is the customer benefit from this? And the great thing about this team is that I'm not going to sell anything to the influencer. We're here to help them build their businesses.
Yeah.
And, you know, make them understand what's in behind their data, how can they grow bigger, and just helping them throughout the way. So I think that's the beauty of our positioning within the program. And that's why we're having great response.
So Amazon Influencer Program does work still closely with Amazon Fashion team and
yes.
the other teams. What other teams do you work with within the organization?
All the categories. So if you're a creator and you're part of the Amazon Influencer Program, you can basically link to any of the categories that we have at Amazon. So anything from fashion to like pets, beauty, outdoor, you know, Prime Gaming, Amazon Music. So we have a huge range and we're geo-agnostic, so basically we work with all the different categories within Amazon.
Yeah.
And all different kinds of creators as well, which is great.
Okay, so can you explain to somebody that hasn't necessarily heard of the Amazon Influencer Program exactly what it is, how you apply, and what you can get out of it?
Yes. So think about it as a content creator, you have your different social media and you want to monetize your contents. Essentially, once you sign up, that's what we're enabling creators to do. So we have a different kind of like set of tools and features to enable really creators to monetize their contents by creating a link. The main advantage of this for a creator being part of the Amazon Influencer Program is that we have a huge engaged audience. Mm. We have, you know, hundreds of millions of active customers worldwide. We have, you know, millions of products as well. So it really opens up for them to a whole new kind of like set of opportunity and products that they can promote to their audience. So essentially, once they're part of the program and they create links, they can earn commissions on the products that they're selling. As I said, it's up to 20% on certain categories, but they earn commissions on all the different categories.
What's the minimum sort of commission you'll get if in fashion it's 20%?
I will need to check that.
Yeah.
But actually, it's all publicly and transparently like published on our page. So this is like super clear. They can
yeah.
see exactly like how much they can get on all the different categories. Mm.
So if you were a creator and you wanted to link to a high ticket camera, that's mm-hmm. something that you could make commission on as well.
Are yes. there everything?
Everything. Okay.
Everything.
Right.
Even the services, like, for example, you get a bounty, which is a set amount if you promote a service, like Prime, for example.
Right.
So really we're trying to create new streams of revenue for creators, whether they're promoting products or services.
It's quite a passive way as well, you know, once you can promote the link, but if it's just sitting there, then
exactly.
you clicked again.
And actually talking about passive way, we also give influencers the opportunity to have a storefront.
Yes.
Which is...
This is new. Is it relatively new?
Relatively.
I saw the like drops and people and creators can have their own page, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So basically they have their own page, custom URL, and here they can post shoppable photos, which is essentially like, you know, a photo that they will post, for example, on their social media, but they can tag all the products.
So they re-upload the photo
correct.
To their... Right.
Correct.
Can they do video?
We're working on set of future. I know. Everyone is talking about that. We're working on a set of features constantly. So we're constantly adding. Yeah. Last year we added Idealist, for example. So again, let's say that you're doing a reel, for example, on Instagram or TikTok, and you're featuring several products. On your storefront, you can create an Idealist with all those products and share one link in your TikTok. Instead of having to link, like...
Sort of like a link tree, but...
Exactly.
Because if you had a video, and then that gets posted in the way that a video gets posted to YouTube, and in the description box there, they have all the products they've talked about. But if you could use, like, AI to automatically, like, voice recognize the products, and then underneath have all of those listed, but being able to buy on Amazon, so you're going to get it, like, the next day.
I think we're going to get you as a consultant, Alice.
That would be a game changer.
We need more. We always need more feedback and more ideas. So yeah, no, that would be great. But I think the beauty of the storefront is that, you know, we keep on hearing something back from the influencers. And on the storefront, because they're on Amazon, we're kind of like pushing their visibility again to the Amazon shoppers that are extremely engaged. Mm. And, you know, if you happen to be featured somewhere in the site as well, you get those commissions. So we're constantly trying to push the visibility of the creator and giving them back as well, you know, the commission on the content. So it's also a passive income, because once it's in your storefront, you know, it can be viewed even after like a few years.
Are there aspirations for it to become sort of a content house as well? You know, if people are uploading the pictures directly and uploading it, you know, would you see in some ways it being a very well connected competitor to the likes of a YouTube or TikTok?
I think what we're definitely trying to do is to inspire customers. And when it get to customers, you know, listening to their feedback, they're super engaged. I mean, there is no question whether, you know, influencer marketing works or not. We're all convinced about this. And so I think right now what we're really trying to do is push this amazing content in front of all the different Amazon customers, because they get inspired as well and they engage really well with that. So that's where we're going for now. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, and so there is a lot of like elements of interactivity and, you know, that we're putting together in the homepage and different pages of Amazon. But we're not talking about being a social media.
Yeah, yet. what territories is Amazon Influencer Program like available in? Is it all territories?
So we actually launched in 2018 at the time in the UK. And then it was followed by Germany, France, Spain, Italy. It's also available in the US, in Canada, Brazil, Mexico. I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of different countries. We also launched this year in Sweden, Poland, and Netherlands.
Right.
So we keep on expanding, you know, where we're available.
What is the biggest market? Is that US or?
What is always the biggest market?
are UK quite close? Are we number two?
I think it's interesting because what we're seeing is that influencers have, you know, they don't have an audience just based in one locale.
Yeah.
And so they have, you know, consumers based everywhere. Amazon is available in more than 200 countries, I think. And so what we're also trying to work on is the ability for creators to monetize their content, not just in one locale, but being able to reach their customers wherever they are. Mm. So that's the way that we're looking at it. And we're looking at it from a global perspective as well. So, you know, just last week we were doing an event, the Creator Summit in Europe, and we really brought all those creators together from all across Europe so that they could connect and share best practices. Mm-hmm. Because essentially a UK creator, you know, will have audience in Germany, in France, potentially in the UK as well. So I think what we're all about is trying to share best practices on what's working, because of course there are some more local nuances to, you know, customers and what we're buying in different
areas. What are you finding are best practices? You know, our audience is predominantly UK. So in the UK, what was the sort of feedback that came from the event, if it's been?
I think in terms of like understanding how big the industry is, we had some US creators and I think it was super interesting to see their stories. You know, within Amazon, we had one influencer who became homeless during COVID, and she decided to start with the Amazon Influencer Program in the US. And now she's making a life out of this. Mm-hmm. So this was a hugely inspiring story, you know, for creators that sometimes don't, you know, get how big it can go, or like, you know, how big their business can
be. Yeah, I read an article, I don't know if it was on Business Insider, but about a creator. He was US-based, and Amazon Influencer Program now makes up 90% of his revenue.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
In terms of the criteria to get on, we talked about creators having audiences in different locations. Is when I'm a creator and I want to sign up, do I need to authenticate and give you access to my like Instagram, Meta API and stuff?
You don't give us access to anything.
Great.
But you will need to identify with your, yeah, one of your social channels. And then we look at a number of different criteria: followers, quality of the content, engagement.
Fake followers, and do you have a little look at that? Yeah,
we look at it globally. But I think what's super important is that, you know, I keep on saying that to the creators: if they have great passion, if they're passionate about what they're doing, and they really, you know, they're dedicated, they will get into the program. And once they're in the program, there are, you know, endless possibilities for them to do what they want to do. I think what's super important is that we give them the entire, like, the total freedom. Mm-hmm. We don't say to them, you should post absolutely on this or that. We literally just give them the tool and then give them the freedom to do what they want. And I actually had a talk with an influencer, a French influencer last week, who said something really nice. He said affiliation for him was the only way now to be completely authentic. Mm-hmm. Because he had the freedom to, if he wanted to, like, promote two different, you know, competing products, for example. And that's what we're really about.
Yeah. That just reminded me of a conversation that I had with Lorna Lux, or maybe it was at the beauty show, and she was on a panel where she was saying that sometimes she gets approached a lot by brands to do brand collaborations, but authenticity is key to her and for her audience. She's like, I wouldn't really necessarily use that, but can you give me a discount code so I can, you know, give back an offer to them? Mm-hmm. And is that something that can be done as well, in terms of you get affiliates, but is like Amazon Influencer Program, could they get access to special discounted deals? But yeah.
Yes, they could absolutely.
Do they approach you and say, can I have a special code for this, or it gets
both ways? Okay. To be honest, both ways. So we get a lot of feedback from creators, and we want to get a lot of feedback, so we're always trying to see, like, you know, what could be beneficial for them, and if a brand is involved as well for the brand. So it's, yeah, really a two-way conversation. But there are so many ways to, you know, create new revenue stream and find the right way to collaborate with a creator as well. You know, not just organically, not just on sponsored collaboration, but finding new ways to connect with their audience. So yes, having discount codes is part of it.
Yes, another creator. So it's like, you need to be careful of how many asks you have of your audience. So it's sort of like the give and the take. So if you're giving them a special offer, that is a service that you're providing to them, as opposed to sometimes a brand deal where you're showing them and asking them to engage with it. Mm-hmm. Because you need those responses.
I think ultimately what we really want is partner with the right person, right? Like, we don't want to say, hey, you need to promote that absolutely, if that's not, you know, that's not what this person is about. And talking about authenticity and niche, we're seeing more and more creators that are talking about very niche product, like vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, cleaning product, especially after COVID. And so what's important for us is to understand the creators, right? We're not going to say, hey, what about, you know, this product that is completely unrelated?
Yeah.
If this person is all about cleaning products, let's look at the data and let's help, you know, this creator kind of like push the content or discover new categories that can be linked, or, you know, subcategories or products.
Yeah, post-COVID, and also I think Mrs. Hinch sort of developed a whole new category in cleaning.
Yeah.
Watching her hit 100K.
You can't imagine the number of like cleaning products that I bought or like small gadget, you know,
for the Minky,
the sink. My boyfriend is like, oh my God, what have you bought again? But it's just so easy.
I suppose that because there is such a volume of different products and services to buy through Amazon, it would actually be difficult to be inauthentic because there's such a choice of things. I guess it's maybe true. If you were a creator, you could push something more expensive than you would normally buy. I'm just trying to see both sides of it. But
I think you can also look at, you know, customer ratings that you have on Amazon. That's usually a great indication of like how customers, you know, actually tried it and do they like it or not. There is a white choice for sure. They're usually as well kind of like looking at the prime delivery, which is, you know, definitely a benefit versus other products that they might recommend. Mm-hmm. So anything to make, you know, customer life easier and better, they usually focus on those products.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the creator that was homeless and now is making a living out of the Amazon Infants Program. What, we know that there are different percentages going all the way up to 20% in some of the fashion items. How much money could a top earning creator on the Amazon Influencer Program make, like region wise?
I would love to answer to that. But unfortunately, with Amazon, we don't disclose personal data.
Right.
What I can tell you is that we're seeing more and more creators stopping their 9-to-5 jobs.
Okay.
And just focusing on content creation.
So that can give you a gauge.
Exactly. So putting a lot of effort into that. They're fully dedicated. But even again, last week I had some influencers saying, now I feel good about, you know, living my 9-to-5 and focusing on that.
Let's talk about last week in a bit more detail. So this was your first Amazon Influencer Program event, the Creator Summit. When did the idea for this come? How was the process in getting ready for it? How did it look and what has the feedback been thus far?
Yes, so we wanted to connect with our creators more closely. You know, we're constantly exchanging with them over the phone, over email, but I think we really wanted to bring everything together, everyone together, because at the end of the day, we're a community, right? And so, of course, there was COVID. We wanted to do something before COVID. I remember when I was still at Fashion, and then COVID happened. And then we started again the conversation last year on being like, we need to bring everyone together, because I'm a big believer as well that, you know, creators learn from each other. And I received so many feedback from creators being, it is so nice to actually connect and share versus, you know, all the backlash that can happen on social media. Mm-hmm. And sometimes creators can feel, of course, you know, some of them have a team behind, but not all of them. And that's something I can relate to, because that's literally how I decided to take on, you know, a job when I had my startup. And so we really wanted to get them, you know, in a room with everyone together, because it does make a difference. And I'm sure you're feeling the same too.
Yeah.
And so ID started a year ago, and then we've been working on that for a bit more than 6 months now. And so we decided to do it in Berlin because we wanted to disclose feature a lot of products as well. I think we have so many amazing products and brands. And we wanted to show those products to the creators. And so we decided to have different influencers from different categories as well. Again,
yeah,
so much to learn from, you know, beauty to tech to fashion, and they're learning from each other. So we brought basically 250 creators from all over Europe for a 2 days event in Berlin. And we had a lot of like different activations. So some classroom that were more educational on really like how to build your business, how to make the most out of the Amazon Influencer Program. We had some networking sessions as well with influencers to connect with, you know, one another and stay in touch after that as well. Some coffee talk as well. So some kind of like creators share their story and then engage with conversation with the others. We had a lot of different things happening, like content studio, customization station. Hair and makeup glam station and grooming station as well. And
it was very visual from what I've
It was
seen.
Very visual. At the end of the day, it's all about content creators. And again, a lot of products there. So I think we had more than 58 brands. A lot of different products. And we also have something that I find super exciting, which was what we call Merch on Demand class.
Okay.
And it's basically one of the surveys that we have now on Amazon. So we're helping creators kind of like go one step further, and we're enabling them to create their own merch on Amazon. They don't have to invest anything, because, you know, there are a lot of people who want to create their own brands and start understanding like what really their customer will buy if it was their own brand.
Yes.
But it does request like kind of like an investment.
Yeah.
And so what we're enabling them to do is to create their own collection.
And storage as well.
Exactly. And, you know, logistic, everything that goes with it. customer service, mm-hmm. very important one. And so with Merch On Demand, they can actually create their own collection directly on the site and then put it live.
What is the split on that, like revenue split?
So they get a royalty and they can actually set up the royalty that they want to earn on each product and how much the product is going to cost. So yeah. it's fully transparent. They yeah. decide on it. And then it means that it's live on, they can select which country they want to put that live on.
So Amazon will let them know how, you know, if they say, I want to design a like pop socket or a mm-hmm. t-shirt, what the production costs of that would be so that they know that it would be the profit, it would be a profit share. That
exactly.
Doing, yeah.
And then they can see as well what's happening, which is interesting. Like, you know, how many products were sold, each which locale, etc. And they can also use the affiliate program to earn commission. You know, if they put yeah. the link of their collection, they also earn commission on that.
In terms of, I mean, merch is sort of quite associated with fandom. So sort of, I remember the first like round of creators and they had their sort of merch. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was Sug Life and they had a pop-up yeah. shop and it went all the way around. I think that was, yeah. Oxford Street. What creators are taking Amazon up on the merch offer? And is this quite a lot of Gen Z TikTokers that have big audiences and the really that type of fandom? And then is creating something maybe a bit higher end, you know, an actual fashion collection, something that could happen?
So I think in terms of Gen Z versus, you know, millennial, or I don't think necessarily it's the case. I think what we're seeing is that a lot of creators are building their community around some kind of like niche, mm-hmm. you know. And so if you're, again, if you're like passionate about, you know, cleaning products again,
yeah,
you can make something really fun around that. So I think it's more about finding why your audience, you know, is following you and making something a bit more like fun out of this versus just for Gen Z. I think yeah. actually we've seen a lot of mommy bloggers as well who are creating their own merch.
In terms of merch, though, like you wouldn't be able to create an actual cleaning product. I imagine the risk to that would be.
But you can create like a t-shirt, you can yeah. create a sweatshirt with like some fun kind of like, you know, reference to it.
Yeah.
Or something super, you know, maybe they have a tagline or something like that that they want to put on. And it's very easy to create because, you know, now you have a lot of third parties, design tools that can help you really create what you want to create. So I think it's quite easy as a first step to starting your own collection. And then if you want to move one step further, we have a collection called The Drop. Mm-hmm. Which is basically a limited edition, like 30 hours only available collection created by influencers. So it's for selected influencers, but I think that's another kind of like amazing opportunity. We did some collections in Europe with Leonie Han, with Patricia Bright. With,
I was going to say, I think I've heard.
Yeah, Sab the French Way, a lot of different. So I think that's kind of like another type of creation, of course. I wouldn't say it's not necessarily more, I think you mentioned like luxury or more, you know, high-end. I think it's more around...
Whether that could be something though, because exactly. I know that there are a lot of aspirations.
It could be. Yeah. I think it's more around really this time creating the product from A to Z. Mm-hmm. And so the beauty with that is that you're not left alone completely, you know, knowing like, okay, now you do it. You find the fabrics and everything. We actually have an amazing team behind this who's kind of like giving some recommendations on, you know, what are the cuts that are going to be on trends? What are different fabrics that you could use, the different colors of the season, etc. And this is really like a process of working together with this team that is, of course, used on, you know, launching your products and then going from, you know, the creation to actually having the products in your hand and promoting to your audience. Mm-hmm. So we got great feedback from that. I know a lot of creators are super excited about this opportunity.
Mm. Have you been following the de-influencing trend that's been talked about?
I haven't.
Okay. Well, it sort of took a rise on TikTok, and it's creators that are telling people not to buy lots of things and buying specific things. And is that something that potentially could be worrying?
I don't think so.
Not saying that's going to floor Amazon, let's be honest. But
no, I don't think so. I think it depends what you mean by buying specific things versus a lot of things. You know, we have a page, for example, on Amazon, which is called the Climate Plate Friendly. So if you want to find products that are more sustainable, eco-friendly, you can go on this page. And then, you know, we have a lot of baby products, for example, or like baby clothing that are amazing. We recently launched a collection as well within Amazon Fashion, which is called Amazon Aware, which is amazing. So I think there is, you know, there are products for everyone. And then again, like we launched recently as well, the luxury stores, right? Like we have beauty products and fashion products. So I think it's all about making sure that you're true to yourself and your audience and understanding what your audience want to get. Mm. I think again on the, one of the learning that we got from last week, from the event last week was really about, as long as you're transparent with your audience and you know you're not hiding anything, I don't see any issue.
Mm-hmm. Actually, to go back to the event, you had 58 brands that were there. What was the sort of split of kind of vertical there? You said you had a glam station.
Yes.
Was it all sorts of brands? So
it was mainly focused around what we call lifestyle for this one. So it was fashion, beauty, home, and tech as well. Mm-hmm. So we had Alexa, for example, doing the announcement, which was really fun. We had some really cool fashion brands as well, like GWPay, you know, some Amazon fashion private brands as well. We had L'Oreal, who partnered with us for the beauty space. So a lot of different, and home, of course. Mm. The sofas were actually Amazon, you know,
okay.
Home.
Yeah.
So we really wanted to recreate that universe of like, you know, as a creator, you're also spending a lot of time inside your home, in your apartment. And actually, there are amazing products within, Amazon that you can discover. So, for example, we had a pink kitchen, fully pink kitchen.
Amazing.
with the fresh Amazon Fresh products as well. And so I think it was all about putting some highlights into those great products that we have and the selection that we have.
And there were 300 guests.
250
guests. Having, you know, this being the first event of that scale that you've worked on, is that right?
Yes.
How did it compare to how you thought it was going to be?
I was so impressed. I think the first thing I arrived when I did the intro on stage was, wow. We knew they were going to be there, right? My team and I have been working on this event for months. But
were you involved in the design elements as well?
Everything.
So 360.
Yeah, exactly. And also thinking about, you know, the programming, which is super important. Like, what do creators want to... We got a lot of feedback from creators in order to make sure that we were, you know, designing an event for them.
Yeah.
I was very impressed. I was very impressed by how... We know that, you know, creators are super nice, but I think they were super engaged and they were all very happy to find a community. And I think that was really the highlight for me, is this, you know, feeling of having a community, everyone sharing with each other, learning from each other. It was a lot of learning, but we only have a few classrooms, right? Mm-hmm. It was a lot of sharing best practices, what's working, not working.
It was also like the water cooler moments you get in the office.
Exactly. And it was also fully transparent, right? So they really talked about like what's working best, what's not working. So great commitment. And also,
you said you had US creators there as well.
We had some
US creators. Are often much more transparent in terms of talking cash. But I think the UK were following suit, which is important, because otherwise you do get disparity.
They're more used on like the monetization for sure. And we have this amazing influencer who's always saying, I'm not an influencer, I'm an Amazon influencer. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. It's so inspiring. But I think from a team perspective as well, talking about the team, you know, we have so many people we're a small team, but we have amazing people within the Amazon Creator, Amazon Associate program that are working literally behind the scenes, right? Like every day for creators, whether it's influencers or publishers, every day they're thinking about, okay, how can we help them? What new features can we create? You know, what kind of communication will help them, for example, for the deals events? And it was also nice for the first time to bring, you know, creators and kind of like have them meet in person.
Mm-hmm.
the people that are really working for them.
Yeah, and just forging
yes.
direct relationships.
Yeah.
I think it's so important. People get so many emails, you can really get lost behind.
You can get lost, and I mean, you know, seeing someone in person, it makes the whole difference as well. Mm-hmm. And same, we had a, you know, an expert bar with all the troubleshoot, for example, and, you know, creators love that because sometimes you have a small issue or like you're not sure how to use that, and you see someone in literally 3 minutes, it's solved.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can help you really in your day-to-day mm-hmm. versus if you have sometimes you're not even sending the email sometimes yourself because you're like, I'm going to do it later. So I think having that was great. We're definitely looking at, you know, new ways that we can also connect with creators yeah. on a regular basis.
Have you already started planning the Creator Summit 2024?
Everyone is asking me. I think what's really important for me is like gather all the feedback. I want to make sure that we're, you know, learning first
yeah.
and then making sure that we keep on optimizing.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Amazon Influence Program and Amazon, just looking at the creator space landscape at the moment, are there any trends that you are seeing? How do you feel like the market is developing on the whole?
Definitely. I mean, everyone is talking about videos. Short videos, long videos. I think there is a big debate between the two. You know, I still see a lot of creators that are actually driving or earning via Facebook.
Yeah.
So, and it's not one influencer. There are actually a lot of them. So I think it's all about understanding the kind of content that you create. Of course, we're talking a lot about repurposing the content as well. It's hard for creators now. They have so many platforms. You know, they need to master all the different platforms. It's not necessarily easy, but I think, you know, you wouldn't talk the same way if you talk about your beauty routine, for example, or if you want to do a very quick kind of like snapshot of the new recent products that you received. And so we were talking about it with Patricia Bright, actually, and Nikki Lilly last
Nikki
week.
Nikki Lilly?
Yes.
I love Nikki. She was our cover star.
I know. Yeah. And they were explaining that, you know, they were used on talking a lot in front of the camera for the YouTube, and then they arrived on TikTok, and then, you know, it's a whole different kind of format. So I think it's important to understand what your audience wants and then test.
Yeah.
Because you need to test and learn and see what's working, what's not working, and understand what you want to talk about.
And sometimes I think, though, with the like repurposing of content, it's great in theory, but because the tones of voices are so different on the platforms, like Jack Edwards, he's our Creator of the Year 2022, and we were doing our cover shoot with him recently, saying I have to create something totally new for TikTok because mm-hmm. it's different, and that workload is huge. Mm.
It's big, and so I think that's why a lot of creators now are looking at how can I make this quicker as well. So a lot of the conversations that I'm having, which we didn't have necessarily, you know, years ago, is like, how can creators really optimize their time? Because it takes a lot of time to create great content. And there are so many platforms right now.
Yeah.
So it's all about like managing your time. And as a business, you know, like literally doing a spreadsheet, making sure that you can plan in advance. So so videos are definitely one of the, you know, key trends that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm putting back the highlights on niche content.
Yeah.
Because I think more and more, the creators are starting to understand better their audience, and they're starting to explore all the products that are within, you know, those categories and really give tips. So I think niche is something that we didn't necessarily see that much in the past. You know, you were like a beauty influencer or you were a fashion influencer, but you were promoting a lot of different kind of like range of products. So niche is super interesting, and it comes down to authenticity as well. And then just affiliation. Mm. I think, again, collaborations are important, but a lot of creators are starting to think about the long term as well. And so they're using Link, they're being more transparent. We were saying, you know, the US sometimes are a bit more clear on like, I monetize the content and I do this and I earn that. I think we're getting more and more there as well from a creator perspective in Europe.
And then final question, what are your personal career aspirations at Amazon for the next 18 months? Like, what do you and your team want to achieve?
Big question. we're fairly a new team, I have to say. And so I think we get you know, we got great momentum from the event that we did last week, and it was it's more the public side of what we're doing. But we have a lot of great projects. I think what we want to focus on is creating more educational content for influencers to understand how they can optimize their, you know, their strategy. This is very important for us.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, finding the right channel as well. We know that creators are not necessarily on emails, for example. So making sure that we have the right channel to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, a wide audience as well. We want to make sure that we're not forgetting anyone. So I think we're going to really focus on that. We're going to focus on, you know, again, new innovations. How can we build new product, new features for them? And keep on gathering learning. So it's kind of like an always on, you know, process internally when we're like, okay, what, you know, how are they feeling about this product or this feature? And then how can we help them grow even more?
A big thanks to Lucrece for coming on the show.